the CU Engage Executive Tech Summit, conference,
yes,
whatever.
Summit.
Yeah.
Exec fair. Tech Summit.
It's pretty sweet. The initial one, actually. Yeah. And they had you, Mr. Mark Sievright, as keynote. Congratulations.
I know. They obviously called around Mike, couldn't find anyone else to come to San Francisco, and I was available.
Let's get Mark. He'll do anything.
He'll show up.
It's like, kind of like Mikey likes it. Hey, Mikey likes it. Right. Oh, Mark will do it. Hey, give us a quick summary on your keynote, because last time I saw you, you were talking about just the advancements in technology and stuff. This one, you had a different spin on it. It's like, kind of like, what did we miss? What's kind of a fear of missing out type of thing. So it's really cool.
Well, like Madonna or Taylor Swift or any of these other great artists, you know, Mike, you've got to keep it fresh.
Indeed.
You've got to have new releases. New,
you are doing a good job of that.
Well, new discs, new LPs, as you and I would say.
Yes,
although you're younger than me.
I got an LP or two.
You know, one of the things I'm trying to stress today, Mike, is that the pace of change over the last 10 years has been staggering. Mm-hmm. I think we'd all agree with that. And we gave lots of examples this morning of what's happened in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. The next 10 years is going to go even faster. And consumers are also going to adopt technology much more readily than they did in the past 10 years even. What we've got to figure out as credit unions is how do we keep up? How do we play in this new future? How do we decide which technologies we're going to invest in? What trade-offs we're going to make? Because we don't have abundant resources. We can't afford to do everything. So we've got to really be selective around what we do. And more importantly, how do we generate fantastic experiences for our members in an environment where those experiences are showing up in places that are outside the traditional financial system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You brought up Amazon, and we're talking, you can't go 3 minutes without talking about Amazon becoming a bank. And you talked about Lisa Freeman at Credit Union Journal saying, hey, Mark, what's going on here? So what is going on here?
Yeah, well, Lisa's team were very kind to ask me my opinion a couple of weeks ago, Mike. And there's a great article, actually, in Credit Union Journal with several commentators in that. My point was that, first of all, it's going to be very difficult for Amazon to gain entry into the marketplace as Amazon. And I mean that from a regulatory perspective. Mm-hmm. They certainly could access it from a consumer perspective.
Oh, yeah.
We know that. But, you know, we've seen some really challenging situations with Walmart's application over a decade ago. Mm-hmm. Square have their application pending. SoFi have their application pending. Mm-hmm. And given that Amazon, Mike, has a track record, you know this as well as me, if not better, with the Chases and the Synchrony banks and so on, of partnership, I think if they're going to make a play, they're going to make a play through a partnership or a series of partnerships.
Yeah.
We know that more than half of Amazon's customers would bank with them if they could, or at least have a checking account with them if they could. And we also know that they have a brand and a customer experience that would translate very readily into banking.
No doubt.
So they would be an instant hit in the financial system.
Well, there's a trust thing there. We shop on it almost daily now, and you know the drone's going to drop off a package on your back porch. You know, who knows
those
when.
Those eggs are going to get ruined. Whole Foods, they're going to get ruined.
Exactly.
But the avocados too. But you're right, Mike. They've, you know, Amazon's been very interesting in that they've built a horizontal business model where they're in retail, you know, with Whole Foods, bricks and mortar, I mean. They're in media, they're in shipping, they're in entertainment. And they've issued plastic cards for quite a while in financial services. There's clearly an opportunity to take their strengths and their competencies and translate them. How and when they do it, that's the mystery.
Right, right.
And you actually brought the point in there, how ironic is this that the regulators are your friends in this instance,
friends,
you know, because they're keeping these guys out.
That's right. I mean, those licenses seem to take a long time. And, you know, the other thing, too, is almost half of the Amazon shopping base is what we would consider underbanked, you know, which is interesting, right?
Yeah.
Or lower income based on national averages. So they clearly have a play to the underbanked or underserved market as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the issue for Amazon, Mike, is can they make the Prime membership fee somehow an incentive around a financial product? Because that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, we will wait and see with bated breath on that one.
Yeah.
Definitely. There were so many great points you had in your talk. You're talking about Clink working with USAA. The FaceMe.com,
yes.
The FaceMe, all the AI that's going on?
Right. It's really interesting. I know Gene Pelham very well at Rogue. In fact, I think you interviewed
good
him.
Good guy. Yeah.
He's a great guy. And Gene takes talent management very seriously. And I had the privilege last week of spending some time with Gene and his leadership team. And one of the things we talked about, Mike, was talent management. And I think the notion of talent management is now going to become digital human talent management. Because certainly over the next 10 years, we're going to see more AI-based applications come into how we serve our members. Mm-hmm. Whether it's invisible, in other words, AI is working to manipulate data in a good way mm-hmm. and make it available to you or members at the credit union, or it's direct interaction through an AI yeah. digital resource yeah. who looks human. Right. You know, you saw the picture yeah, this morning. It's amazing. Yeah. And of course, the example I showed from this Australasian company is already being deployed at some of the larger banks out there. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, hyperbole or blue sky thinking. It's real.
It's here.
It's here. It's here.
Let's talk about demographics. You brought up a great point about demographics and like how the millennial, the younger generations, yeah. they're delaying marriage, they're delaying this, which is there's a kind of a an effect where you're delaying buying a house, you're delaying buying cars, and so that's going to have an effect on financial services.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know they found it quite funny, but the data point, they could all relate to it, I think, Mike, was, you know, for the first time in about 130 years, we have more young adults saying they're either expressing an interest in living at home again, mm-hmm. or they're actually living at home again. Mm-hmm, yeah. The highest levels in over a century. We're also seeing the number of marriages, or married young adults, I should say, drop significantly compared to 1950, you know, when we had a big census, well, we do them regularly, I know, but the 51 was a big one. And back then, about 75% of young adults reported they were married. Today, that number's closer to 50. And the cohabiting relationships have skyrocketed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so have what I call the gray divorce rates, you know, people over 50 married, divorced, yeah. perhaps because all these kids are coming home,
exactly.
who knows, no, but seriously. But now we've got to figure out, okay, how do we respond to this really changing environment, mm-hmm. Aspects of which we haven't seen before?
Yeah.
And I think we often talk about millennials and technology and Gen Z and so on, but there are sort of more macro demographic trends that we're going to have to understand mm-hmm. and deal with. Great opportunities for credit unions in these multi-generational households, for mm-hmm. example.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Spreading the word
exactly.
and getting more members from that same household.
I mean, that's how I found about credit unions is my dad.
Is
you know?
That right?
Yeah, when I bought my first car, he's like, all right, I'll co-sign with you at the credit union. Let's go.
There you go. And you never looked back.
Never looked back. It was awesome.
It was awesome. So last point here. Gosh,
there's so geoosmosis. Can you explain this real quick just to kind of wrap up here?
So being from Southern Missouri, as you know.
Yes, the accent, I can tell.
Yes. I grew up in Wales, and one of the things, Mike, that's always fascinated me, from especially my days at MasterCard, I was privileged to see so many different countries and cultures, you know, over the years. Mm-hmm. Very, very fortunate. And of course, I emigrated myself to the United States, so I'm kind of a global person in a way. I believe that a lot of changes that we're seeing in other countries, the geo part mm-hmm. of the geoosmosis, will come to the United States. And so we're seeing a lot of innovations happening today in payments, for example,
oh, yeah.
in Asia and Europe. Mm-hmm. I showed you the sort of palm-based payment,
cool.
the visual facial recognition payment, you know, lots of different things. That over time, you know, America, as wonderful as this country is, learns from events that are happening elsewhere. Although CHIP took 21 years to come here, you know, we're giving you a pass on that.
It's a whole other story.
It's a whole other story. But I do believe, Mike, that the great way to try and see the future is actually to look at what's going on in other parts of the world. And that's what we were talking about, geoosmosis, this morning.
I like
that.
Love it. All right, that's a great message to end on, Mark. Always a pleasure
thank
seeing you.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Great job up there.